It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Will Sean Pod... What? What are you talking about?
A little throwback from last week.
How you doing, Will?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better. I'm doing better than I was a week ago. I was at the bank today.
Were you?
As I do. I go to the bank.
To visit your money daily.
To visit the sea, and I like to, like Scrooge McDuck, I jump in it and I swim around. But no, here's what drives me crazy. Because I always go to the bank, and there are always these people in front of me. And it's, you know, the teller. And they're doing, like, the most complex banking at all these teller windows. I go in, I go out. I'm up there, I'm gone. They're like, I don't know what they're doing. They're driving me crazy, these people at the bank.
You know what? The bank, as an institution, is so antiquated. We have kiosks that can make you a fresh pizza from scratch. How hard is it to have a fucking kiosk that can take a check, give you a little bit of cash back? And ATMs, really, $20 denominations, we can't figure this out.
Because this is why I go up to the teller for two reasons. One, I usually like to deposit some of the check and get some cash back all at the same time. And two, I might not be good at it at bars, but I'm really good at flirting with bank tellers. For some reason, middle-aged Armenian women are all about me.
They love you. Well, you should change your last name to Linkion and you'll be set.
Hey, Sean, what's been going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, we had a great episode last week. We had Taylor Negron on.
The great Taylor Negron.
Speaking of pizza, the man who brought the pizza to Sean Penn. Podcast has been going great. Will and I were just talking about this, and we're hoping that Santa brings us some new microphones soon, so we may get that squared away sooner rather than later. Same, though. We got the Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher. There's plenty of ways to listen to us, and once again, we just ask you, if you subscribe, if there should be another hiccup on iTunes' behalf, you will not be affected. Subscribers still get the episodes.
So be a subscriber. Don't just download from week to week. Don't just wait for the Facebook update. Just subscribe to the button and subscribe to the podcast. You're going to listen anyway.
And if you're on iTunes and you can count to five, there's five stars, go ahead and click on it. Not so hard. We would love you forever.
I do love you forever. Who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode, Will, is brought to you by the medical condition known as exhaustion. Yes, exhaustion, that vaguely defined and always debilitating illness, strikes suddenly and incapacitates the hardiest and youngest of us all. Just ask such folks as Colin Farrell, Demi Moore, Eminem, Paris Hilton, Tracy Morgan, and Lindsay Lohan. Each of these brave souls were the picture of physical and mental perfection when, suddenly and out of nowhere, they were in need of immediate and sustained hospitalization. Exhaustion. You never know who or where it's going to strike. Not to be confused with an allergic reaction.
Were you exhausted last week?
I think I was a little exhausted. May have been what happened.
Okay. On the show today, we're going to be talking, speaking of exhaustion, we're going to be talking about some biopics, including one that aired this past weekend starring an exhausted young lady. We got an enemy that, we're apparently 2 decades in the making for this enemy, and we'll get to that in a bit. But first, on the show today, we have a terrific filmmaker, Jesse Konweiler.
Isn't it Konweiler?
You said my last name right. That's crazy.
I know.
We're done. There's nowhere to go.
Shut this
but
up.
I love it.
No, there you
go. Now just shout it with a German accent and throw pennies at me, and it'll be like high school all over again.
Speaking of which, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Did you bring your props?
What?
Did you bring your props?
So creepy already.
Apparently, Sean told you to bring props. I was not part of this.
He told me that he was taking a picture of me, and then if I wanted to bring any props, that would be awesome.
Andrea, I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to stop. You know what? Maybe I should do all the bookings then. I should do all the bookings. I should deal
with
the
pictures. And I'm still here.
You still came. I wouldn't have come after that. Well, first, you know, we were saying that you are a terrific filmmaker. You have a web series that's going to be coming up called, and I got a little chat last week. It was said on the podcast that it was proven for a fact that I am not Jewish because I did not say chutzpah.
You said chutzpah?
No, I didn't say chutzpah, but he said if I was Jew, because I know the word chutzpah, but I would have said it with more
of a emphasis.
With a huh.
A little, put a little huh in.
Yeah, but instead I just said chutzpah.
Yeah.
That's a dude, where's my chutzpah?
What, I mean, there's no wrong, or you can chutzpah any way you like. There's no right or wrong way to say it.
For all our Gentile listeners, what is, can you even just tell us what chutzpah is? What
chutzpah is chutzpah? Is like, okay, the very word is really interesting because I found that, like, I named the web series this as like a drunken joke, like, oh, that's really funny, dude, where's my whatever. And the word chutzpah, there's no English translation for it because it's the definition, and no other word can be defined in what it is. It's like totally having balls. There's
it's like an intangible quality.
Yeah.
It's like pornography. Like, you know it when you see it.
It's like you kill your parents, and then you say, I have no money, I'm an orphan. Like, that's the general, like, chutzpah, you know?
It's a comedy.
Yeah, but it's like, that was kind of part of it. I wanted to, like, redefine that word and all the negative connotation that comes along with it.
Let's take a step back. Are you from Los Angeles originally?
No, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta? Southern girl.
I'm a nice, innocent Southern girl.
Really?
I sound like I'm from Jersey. I sound like I was born in a bathroom in New Jersey.
I mean, did you stand out in Atlanta then? I mean, is this... Because, I mean, yeah, I don't think of you as someone from
going
Georgia.
Going to cotillion balls.
Yeah.
And, no, I don't... I mean, yeah, I stood out, but Atlanta was really chill because it was like... Being that one Jufro, you know, in the ballet class with all the little blondies, it really makes you realize, like, what shit you believe in and care about, you know? But there was, like, some Jews there, if that's what you're asking. Yeah. I was really good at, like, soccer, though, when I was little. And so I played soccer at the JCC, and I was, like, kicking ass.
Yeah.
And so they moved me to play with the Jewish boys. And then I was so good that they moved me to play with the Goyim girls.
So it was basically Bend It Like Beckham meets Ladybugs.
Exactly.
So what brought you out to Los Angeles? How long have you been here for?
So I came out here for school when I was 18.
Did you go to film school?
Hell no.
Oh. Where did you go?
I went to University of Redlands.
Oh.
You haven't heard of it.
I know exactly where it is. It's out in the Inland Empire.
It's not on the internet. Yeah, yeah.
I know where it is because my friend was the head of the Inland Empire Hillel, and University of Redlands fell under their auspices.
Okay, there was, like, no Jews at the University of Redlands.
Well, that's ever. Why the five schools rolled up to one Hillel house.
It was like me eating a bagel. That was Hillel.
You made the nightly news.
Exactly.
Jew eats bagel tonight at 11.
I would just tell people to just, like, follow the trail of meth. If you go on the 10, follow the trail of meth.
So from Atlanta, how did you end up at University of Redlands, which apparently doesn't even exist on the internet?
Okay, so I knew that I wanted to make movies, but I knew that I had, like, a lot of shit to do, and I wanted to kind of, like, find myself and take philosophy and mushrooms and all that kind of stuff. And I went to this awesome, like, design your own major intentional community school. So we, like, all lived on the top floor of this building, and then all the professors were on the bottom floor, and you, like, there were no grades, and you, like, designed your own major, and there were no, like, you could pick your own classes and
create
your
school.
Own...
I was gonna say, yeah, no grades.
No, I know how it sounds, but it was, like, the shit, I'm telling you, it was awesome. So, like, I would take a class, and instead of being like, I'm going to read these books and then write this paper and not give me shit, it was like, you took a class, you were like, oh, this is cool, let me make a movie about it.
But it allowed you to really experiment and do different things, basically.
Right.
Because, I mean, I kind of get that, although I think I need more structure as a human being than that, but I kind of get that because... Given the choices of going to film school, everyone was like, well, you got to go to NYU, where you sit in a room and they teach you film theory for 2 years before they let you shoot anything. And I was like, fuck you, I'm going to school of visual arts where they give me a camera day one, and at least I can go out and start making things.
Exactly. Yeah. Start making mistakes.
Exactly.
And I also, like, I wanted to not just be friends with all other filmmakers, like you said, in dark rooms. Like, I wanted to be friends with all different kinds of influences.
Okay.
Well, you know, again, I can understand that because after 4 years of film school, I came out of it completely socially retarded because I only...
Oh, you went to film school?
Yeah, because I only...
But you went to a film school where you had a camera for 4 years.
Right,
you learned no theory.
Right.
I learned no theory. But no, after film school, it's like I couldn't talk about anything but films. It took me a while to readjust to, like, have other interests again.
For shizzle. And you're like, I have this really good idea for a movie. It's about a movie. It's about a person who makes a movie.
Will.
Is that your thesis?
My thesis, Carol, was about...
Let's start over.
It was a mockumentary about a guy who's making a movie, and it's a comedy, by the way, about a guy who's making a movie about how when he was young, he stumbled upon his brother who had died through autoerotic asphyxiation.
Like so your biography. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your life story.
It was...
Did you do a lot of research for that?
No. No.
No, like you, he went on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you spent 4 years doing peyote in the desert.
Okay, my first film that I ever made, this documentary called Little America, I took a sociology class on, like, gender and women, why white people like you suck. Okay. And...
why people you suck.
Like, why white men suck, what I want. And I made this documentary about truck drivers, and I, like, hitchhiked around the country in trucks.
Oh, wow.
Did you... Oh, my brain just exploded. Any dangerous instances from that documentary, yeah?
But it's a really good movie. You
Can
know?
You tell us one near rape or one near horrible
No, I
thing?
Couldn't. Listen, I
he
tried.
Asked that
I couldn't get
to
raped.
Every...
I couldn't get raped if I tried, okay? They thought that I was a truck driver.
Really?
Nobody thought I was a lot lizard. They were like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, did you? And they're like, well, where's your rig? Because you know? I like to wear vests.
Okay.
And I kind of have a mustache.
Is that the key? Is the key to not being raped wearing a vest?
And letting your mustache grow out.
Fair enough.
Well, what if some guys are into that?
I don't know.
I gotta watch this
Sean,
documentary.
That's your own. Yeah.
Well, speaking. So you go out. You're making these films. Like, who are some people who like kind of were influences then as a filmmaker? Were there any, or was this just something you kind of fell into? Because it seems like it's just something you went and you started experimenting. Like when I was in school, I'm like, I love Stanley Kubrick. I want to make a movie.
Of course.
So, I mean, did you have somebody like that, filmmakers like that, or other women filmmakers?
Yeah, vaginas are awesome, very influential to me. yeah, I mean, like the obvious, like Pedro Almodovar and Woody Allen, and all these people that kind of blend the reality and the, you know, creative nonfiction, personal. The happiest things are the saddest. I mean, you want, like, specific names?
I'm pretty sure Pedro Almodovar has never been cited as the obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, Buñuel, but his early phase when he was in Mexico. Yeah.
Or, like, you know, I don't know, like Cassavetes.
Okay.
I love Cassavetes.
You know,
I recently
like,
discovered him and blew my mind.
Come on. Yeah. It's like, that's all you need. That's like...
Well, Cassavetes was very much that, and it sounds like kind of the attitude you had of... We're going to make this movie, and we're gonna steal the equipment, and we're going to run out and go make a movie.
Yeah, and fuck you. Try and stop me.
Well, I guess I asked, and I said women, because as a young Jewish filmmaker...
Why do you have to say it like that? Jewish.
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 He dropped a hard J, I apologize.
Totally.
That's our word. You can't use it for her.
I'll take it. I apologize.
Well, as I always
just
say
I'm skinny. Well, anytime you want to say Jewish, just say as a skinny filmmaker.
As a young,
is it hard to hold up my microphone because I'm so skinny?
As a young, skinny filmmaker who's the microphone's just falling off of her.
As we had to use, you should see the rig we have on her right
Are
now.
Are you guys worried about me because I'm so skinny?
I'm terrified.
Is this
who
an intervention?
Who said that?
Well, anyway, what I'm getting at here, in the prepping for this episode, you had said that you didn't want to talk about, if we talked about Lena Dunham, who is also a young, skinny filmmaker.
Ooh-ish. Or half-ooh-ish.
You said that you would fart in our faces. So I need, now I
That's
need
That's awesome to, that you brought that up, though.
So now that I was told not to bring it up, I have to bring it up. Are you a fan of her work, or you just don't like the comparison, which I just kind of comically did now?
No, I just said that because I had a lot of beans for dinner, and I really want to fart in your face.
Apparently good for your
I
heart.
Knew that you were going to, I just knew that you were going to bring it up. That's why I said it, because everybody else
Actually, until
up.
You.
They're like, oh, you're, what?
Had you not said anything, we probably wouldn't have.
Maybe it's my own projection. I don't know. Yeah.
But do you like your stuff? Did you like Tiny Furniture? Did you like?
I love everything that Lena Dunham is doing for me and girls in general. You
okay.
know, because she's like has a succinct vision, and every single frame of everything you've ever done, you can just feel completely. It is a singular
right.
vision. She's an auteur, absolutely. Whatever help she has and connections and whatever, like, fuck that. It's her voice. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree.
Is it the number one voice that I want to listen to from a woman? No. But there's totally a place for it. And, you know, I don't know.
That was a very
political
answer. But we'll take it. We'll take it. Well, we got a chance to watch, because on your website, you have some of your films. And we got a chance to watch one example of your work, Stupid Questions, we were watching, which now I saw you tweet that it's on YouTube. People can watch this on YouTube.
Yes, sir. It got rejected from enough festivals. I got to put it on YouTube.
That's it. Is that where short films go to die?
Right? Yeah.
But it was...
No, age gracefully.
Oh,
asshole.
Yes. Wow.
It was a lot of fun. It was a fun film. And it starred Zelda Williams.
Yes.
And it's actually very funny. I watched it, and I...
Why are you guys so surprised? Like, you know, guys are both like, it was actually not shitty.
It was so well-spoken.
It was such a skinny film.
Just don't call it cute. Don't call it cute.
I didn't.
Okay.
I was insulted.
Right.
It was, by the way, you do objectify men quite a bit in that...
What do you mean?
What do you mean? The
There's
casting
no
session?
Shirtless. Well, do you want to explain what it's about?
Why don't you explain? I think the reason why I was saying things the way I kind of thought maybe you'd tell us what it was about.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So Stupid Questions is a short I made a couple years ago about somebody making a movie about somebody making a movie about film school.
Oh.
So it's a short that I made, and it stars Zelda Williams. She's a cute, spunky, awesome, feisty little actress. And basically... It's about Lucy. Lucy is this cool chick. She works in a casting office. She has a boss that's like typical, overbearing, over the hill. Like everybody has that LA boss, you know, totally bitter. And basically, Lucy cannot find a boyfriend. And so she decides to hold a casting call and pretend she's casting for a movie. And really, she's just trying to find a dude.
So it's a remake of the film Audition, although the ending is very different.
Yeah, there's not as much blood.
No, not as many cut off limbs.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's my take on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No.
And now tell us.
Usually, I'm the one that makes the guests feel uncomfortable, so I'm glad this time.
I'm totally comfortable. I just, I don't know. That's it. That's all you want me to say about it.
Whatever else you want to contribute.
I was working in a casting office.
I mean, I guess I could ask how I thought it was clear that it was autobiographical.
Why?
But I could ask how autobiographical.
Why
is
do
it?
You say that it's autobiographical?
I feel the way you said it.
It was too knowing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people like in the industry and not in the industry, I think a lot of young women come to this point now where it's like we grew up being told that we could have everything,
right,
and that we could be the feminist and like the domineering and go and take it on. And then there's also this other side of us that's like, I want to be held, you know, I want somebody to kiss me on the back of my neck. But yet those two identities are constantly fighting with each other. And I don't know if I want a boyfriend and I want a date, but I also want to have a career. There's not, I don't know. There's a lot of inconsistencies there. And,
and you compound that with our generation on top of everything else. And you're just asking for mental paralysis.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So. And I think being in Los Angeles too is it's very specific, and I don't know about you guys, but like trying to navigate like your personal life in a place where everyone's always in work mode and what can you do for me?
Exactly. It's kind of a nightmare. No?
No?
I don't know. I grew up here. This is my life. It's how I've always known things. I always say that the difference between people from New York and people from Los Angeles is that in New York, every discussion is to the point. You just cut exactly to what you want. It's very brusque. In Los Angeles, everything's a negotiation in that you'll get to the same end place, but the process is completely different. In LA, you'll never say, let's meet for coffee 5 o'clock next Thursday. It's like, hey, you know what, let's try meet up next Thursday. I'll call you, we'll figure it out, you know, maybe sometime in the afternoon.
This is why I have so much trouble out here sometimes.
You do,
and I get frustrated with
you
people.
You get frustrated, and for me,
so
it's
flaky.
It's not flaky. It's not necessarily flaky, and it's not non-committal. Because I can tell someone, yeah, we'll meet up next Thursday, I'll be in touch with you. I can know my brain immediately, yeah, between 3 and 5 o'clock. But that just doesn't come out. I don't know. It's just the way I was raised, shit gets done out here. Everything's a process.
I want to know when things are going to happen. If we're going to get together, let's just get together.
No, and you've known me long enough. It's totally the opposite.
Everybody out here is a bunch of assholes.
But in terms of dating, though, not just like professional life, like
no, it's both.
It's everything. Yeah.
Like if you want to, like if I want to be with somebody, though, right? And it's like there's that level of like. What do you do? What do you do? How can you help me? We're both kind of insecure, and we're both late 20s, and we have all these crazy aspirations and dreams, and you're up, and I'm down, and I'm done. It's very complicated.
As long as the anatomy fits, it's all good.
But it is also weird, because I meet women out here, and I'm like, oh, are we both trying to do the same thing? And if they're doing a little better than me, does it seem like I'm just glomming on? But no, I don't want to glom. I want to glom on, but not necessarily in a way, because, you know.
Totally. And you want to be like real, right? You want to be honest with women.
Right.
But you feel like it's hard sometimes because everyone's projecting this image of success, they want to be.
The other thing that drives me crazy about dating and just meeting, not even dating, but even when I meet to some other guy and I'm talking to him, I always feel the need to try to bring up stuff I'm doing without bragging about it so I don't sound like any of the... Because everybody says... I'm a writer. But, like, I had representation, and I, like, you know, it's a little more real than maybe somebody else, some asshole who just showed up here from Iowa and has been here 3 days. It's maddening.
There's two answers to that. One is just be a man of depth, or the second one is just lie through your teeth.
Yeah.
When people, the other week, someone asked me, so what do you do, Sean? I go, I write eulogies for a living. It's like, no, but really, when you're not doing that, what do you do? I go, I kill people. He goes, no, but really, what do? I go, I write life insurance. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. And I got out of it. And he was like, okay, this
was the party.
This person's clearly unhinged.
You didn't want to talk to
this
person.
I didn't want to talk to him.
I'm talking about people I want to talk to. I want to talk to everybody. I like to talk to people. But let's move. Let's get this back on track here. We mentioned...
Okay, so you're lovely.
We mentioned at the top... Dude, Where's My Chutzpah, your new web series. So tell us a little bit about the series.
What was the genesis?
So I was like working out here in production for a couple after the trucks. I was working in film production because I didn't go to film school, so I needed to learn everything. So I started working in production on films and working 26 hours a day, and it was crazy and fun and ridiculous and blah, blah, blah. But, and I would make my shorts, you know, in between and stuff. But then I ended up getting this grant, that's part of the Jewish Federation, and I applied for it. I was like,
did you come up with the idea this would be a good concept for did you think of it as a web series at the time when you applied for the grant?
No.
Okay.
They were looking for web content, and I kind of thought of, I don't know, they wanted something Jewish, so this is so broad, so.
Something skinny, you mean.
Right, something from a skinny Jew, and I'm just, like, so friggin' selfish and sensitive. I was like, I just need, I have no connection to Judaism, so that's what my film needs to be about.
Okay.
Exploring that. So then I kind of came up with this theory for the webisodes and everything.
So how many episodes have you shot, or will there be, and how long is each episode roughly?
So we just finished shooting in LA last week, actually, and then we were in Israel this summer shooting for a month. So
that's awesome.
It's all been shot.
In the can, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. And, we're editing it, so it's hopefully going to be done by early next year.
Well, what I was going to say is I still don't know if we've gotten fully and I don't think we touched upon this at the beginning, what the concept itself is.
Right.
Right, totally.
Okay. So that's why I wasn't sure.
It's like Lost. I'm just never even going to address it.
And then at the end, we're all just dead.
There's more to Lost than that.
So Dude, Where's My Chutzpah is about, me making a movie about myself.
Okay.
It's about a girl who, her bubby dies in the first episode.
Bubby is Yiddish for grandmother.
Sorry. Yeah, and she's kind of like a reform, non-committal Jew, kind of superficial, Jappy, hazy, in L.A. trying to figure it out.
Jappy stands for Jewish American Princess.
Right. And so, she people know what Jappy is.
I think they do. Well.
Her Bubby dies in the first episode, and she leaves her a bunch of money. And in order to get the money, she finds out she has to be Jewish for a year. So it's kind of her explanation of what it means to be Jewish.
So now, because you say this is about, did that happen? That didn't happen.
No, my grandma's alive and she loves the website.
And she still says you're not getting any money. But
I'm like, can I borrow your mink coat at least? She's like, over my dead body.
No, let me ask you this. Did you come up with this, like, kind of fictional premise to then do kind of a more non-fictional approach from you then?
Yeah, so I knew, I mean, my idea of like exploring my own Jewish identity and what makes me Jewish and what is Judaism in, like, what's in it for me and how am I Jewish and I don't even already know it. These are interesting questions, but I don't want to watch a documentary about that. Like, I knew that I wanted to do something that was like entertaining, comical, and basically like tricked people into giving a shit.
So it's okay. Like the Albert Brooks movie, Seeking a Muslim for the End of the World. What's it called?
Seeking Comedy in the Muslim
That's
World.
That's the one. but so, I mean, he played himself essentially exploring an idea through a version of Albert Brooks, in this case, a version of Jesse Convaille.
Yeah.
Now, personally, what did you find about your own Judaism? Did you connect anymore?
The look she's giving makes me feel she didn't, but I'm also wonder if she can tell us that or if it's like on the season finale of the web series.
Yeah, I don't want to give away spoiler
alert.
You
can't see my past.
Do you believe in God is what we're asking?
That's originally, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to find the meaning of life in God and
you
everything.
Do.
Yeah, obviously, duh, of course it changed me, and it totally, like, I get crazy and manic and in it, and there's no line between art and life and everything. I'm not, like, a crazy, super, ultra-perfect Jew.
Right.
But, yeah, I feel like I've totally explored so many different sides of myself through this kind of contained avenue that's Judaism. It's helped open me up to all these different parts
of myself.
But
you're not going to marry a chassid, move to Mea Shearim, shave your head, and pump out 12 children.
There's 12 Moishis waiting for me in the car right now.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm not a perfect Jew either. And,
dude, do you understand that very statement, though? That's what the web series is about, because everybody is, like, so defensive with me when I tell them what I'm doing. Other Jews, they're like, oh, I'm such a terrible Jew, like, including my freaking parents. Oh, my gosh, no, we're not real Jews. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean?
You know who would know? The Nazis.
I'm too busy being a terrible Catholic.
As I say, I'm Jew. Will is Jew-ish.
Right. Well, Catholic, Jewish, same thing. Same amount of guilt.
Before we move on to the topics, when's it going to be up? When are people going to be able to?
Okay, so beginning of next year, it's going to be online, and just follow me on the Twit.
Okay.
And I'll keep
you posted.
Are you
on first name basis with it?
Yeah. Now, me and the Twit.
And when it does come up, we will post it up on the Facebook page.
Yep.
And until then, we have your website posted up on our Facebook page. If you're a good listener, you've already gone to it, but why don't you tell the listeners what your website is?
It's www.dudewheresmychutzpah.com.
Okay.
And jessiconweiler.com.
Excellent. And like I said, if you're a good listener, you've already been there, and I know you are a good listener. So let's move on to the topics of the week. And this past weekend, a movie aired on Lifetime called Liz and Dick. And this was the big comeback for Lindsay Lohan. She's going to be Liz Taylor. Liz Taylor won Oscars. Lindsay Lohan
was in Mean Girls.
Exactly. Which is good.
It's a great movie.
Did either of you watch this, Liz and Dick?
No.
No, neither did I. And I knew this was a topic.
So now we're going to shit on it for 3 minutes.
But here's the thing. I was at the bar drinking.
Like you do.
Instead of watching this. And I was looking at my Twitter feed. And it exploded with all just constant. It seemed like everyone in the world was watching.
I believe 3.8 million comedians watched Liz and Dick last night.
And that
well, it was on, what was it on?
It was on Lifetime.
Lifetime, television for battered women.
But But who watches TV?
Well, Lifetime was very smart and very savvy the way they marketed this. And it did. It got very good ratings.
Yeah.
And, but apparently it was awful. And the question is, was it intentionally awful and campy? Or did it just happen to be awful and campy because it was a crappy movie with bad actors?
It had to be an intentional train wreck. Like, they had to, when they hired Lindsay Lohan, they had to know, like, well, this is our only way to get sure ratings.
But who better to play Liz Taylor? That was, like, genius.
But, I mean, Liz Taylor was a... I mean...
Liz Taylor was a human train wreck, but she was also a brilliant actress who won Oscars, who sort of transcended her insanity, and...
Also, she was a philanthropist.
Yeah.
Like, she did a lot for AIDS research. What has Lindsay Lohan done for AIDS research? Nothing. She's lucky she hasn't gotten AIDS.
She's made a lot of room in her nostrils with all the cocaine for carbon.
This is true. That's, she's a giver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't know who we would have cast as Liz Taylor.
I don't, well, that's the question. Do you go with... Once again, do you go with someone who's the camp choice, or do you try to get a legitimately good actress who can play crazy and could really bring some life? Because I still think the great Liz Taylor movie can be made and has yet to be made.
Because she has lived an interesting life.
She has lived a fascinating life.
Well, you get like Natalie Portman in there, and then it's like a whole different thing.
Well, Natalie Portman is, being Jewish, doesn't have the same physique as Elizabeth Taylor.
What about a Kate Winslet?
Too old at this point. Well, you'd want... Well, maybe.
But you guys, I mean, no offense, but it's already done.
No, it was done trashy. We need to do... How many Truman Capote movies? We had two movies.
We had two Capote
movies come out this year.
Right, that's true.
You know, I still think Liz Taylor, I am a huge Liz Taylor fan. I think she was a brilliant actress. Go back and watch some of her movies from the 60s, and she's mind-blowing the way that she just attacks the screen. And there's a vulnerability to her there, too. Even Cleopatra, which is a train wreck of a movie, she's fantastic in it.
And, you know, it's got to be... tough to play. I think we saw last year with Michelle Williams as Marilyn Monroe, and I thought she did a phenomenal job. But, I mean, playing someone iconic is always tricky. Clearly, Lindsay wasn't up for the task. The recent performance, I know you haven't seen Lincoln yet, you were saying, Jesse, but I keep thinking about that character. It must have been such a uniquely hard character to play because he is someone that it's not like we have footage of, it's not like we can watch what he was, but every American has such an image of Lincoln already in their head. There was the joke on New Girl that every American thinks about Lincoln at least once a day, and it's kind of true.
My image of Abraham Lincoln is informed by Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
But Tony Kushner was saying how, like, it wasn't even that Daniel Day-Lewis did his whole Daniel Day-Lewis thing, but at the end of the day, like, he had the same qualities. He already had the qualities there. Like, the seeds were already planted.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, like, you kind of become that projected image of what everybody thinks.
But, you know, for example, the voice. We think of Lincoln as having the stentorian voice, four score and seven years ago.
You think of the Hall of Presidents from Disney.
Right,
is what
but in real life, Abraham Lincoln, from our understanding and his description, had a very high, thin, reedy, kind of weak tenor voice, and he had this Kentucky accent. And that was part of his charm.
Probably going to need to give an example.
I can't do it. We'll put a link to the trailer. But so you hear, when I saw the first trailer, and you hear this voice come out of this mouth, you're like, that's not right at all. That's so weird. It's jarring. But yet, when you see the movie, it's so perfect. And you understand how Lincoln took this homespun quality to his essence and disarmed everyone with it and was able to outmaneuver everyone because... they didn't expect it necessarily coming from this man.
Huh.
They underestimated him. Is what
did
I'm saying.
You know that he had depression?
Yeah. He had a lot of issues.
I love that though. Like, and he was like the Civil War with a piece of cake compared to. getting male PMS.
Civil War with a piece of cake is that? That's actually a good name for a movie. Or a memoir.
You're welcome.
Civil War with a piece of cake. They're also doing, recently, they're not speaking of biopics, I just want to throw this out there, they're doing a Johnny Carson film. Any thoughts on who should play Johnny Carson? Because I have one.
Who is that?
Johnny Carson? he did The Tonight Show before Conan O'Brien.
He has the salad dressing, right?
No, that's Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. I don't even know if you're serious in that.
I think we're the wrong generation for Johnny Carson. Who do you think should play Johnny Carson?
Kevin Spacey. He does a spot-on Johnny Carson. He's a terrific actor. He can play a little younger. He can play a little older.
Okay. I can see it. They got a round head.
Yeah. That's what the only reason this is in the rundown is because I thought of Kevin Spacey for this, so I wanted to say it.
But you know
so then a year from now, when he's playing Johnny Carson, I can say, I was right.
I don't give a shit. Although, can we go back to Liz and Dick for a second? Damon Lindelof, the man behind some of those episodes of Lost,
yes.
He tweeted, the best thing to come out of Liz and Dick is now we can add and Dick to the ending of any movie title. So like Lincoln and Dick, or, you know,
that's pretty
Civil
good.
War and Piece of Cake and Dick.
Speaking of dicks, real quick, I want to bring this up real quick.
Do it really quickly.
Because we talk about we talk about Community so much. Community, which is never coming back, so I don't know if this matters.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's coming back in February, but it's never really coming back. Chevy Chase has actually left Community now.
Finally.
He was.
I almost ran him over
really?
At the Paramount lot.
He was enemy of the podcast a few weeks back because he's a pain in the ass.
What's enemy of the podcast?
Oh, you'll find out in a little bit. But
am I enemy? Is this enemy of the
podcast? No,
you're hero of the podcast. I guess this is a total moot point. I want to bring up because we talk about Community a lot, but it's a moot point because, right, the show, even if when it comes back this year, it's not coming back for a fifth season.
I don't think so. They're getting an abbreviated fourth season, and they're losing one of their main actors.
So I just wanted to say, you were enemy of the podcast a few weeks ago. Go fuck yourself again, Chevy Chase. You're a pain in the ass. You never appreciated what you had. And you were rude to me that time when I was in the green room at SNL. So go fuck yourself.
Wait, so what happened on the Paramount lot?
Oh, I almost ran him over.
That was, did he hit your car, give you a look? Or...
No, I mean, he was... He was really sweet.
I almost ran Bruce Willis over in the parking lot at the Malibu Colony Plaza. I stopped short. He looked at me and he gave me that Bruce Willis look. And he hit the hood of my car and I go, holy shit, that was Bruce Willis.
This weekend...
That would have been cool, like, if Bruce Willis...
He had opened
you.
The door, pulled me out, beat the shit out of me.
And stole your car. That's what John McClane would do. He'd be police business. this Thanksgiving weekend was the biggest Thanksgiving weekend box office-wise in the history of the human civilization.
Wow.
It made $288 million this weekend. And I saw two movies. One I really liked and one I controversially did not. First, I believe we are on the same page.
Twilight?
Jesse, on Twilight being the greatest film of the last 10 years. No.
Why should we even try?
We're going to get to Twilight a little bit later, too. But Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, forget it.
Everyone should go see
forget
this, right?
Forget it. Everyone. See it twice for both sides of your multiple personality disorder, like Bradley Cooper.
Well, it's a really funny, sweet...
Like everything they did right.
It's screwball romance mixed with real, actual issues that people have, mental issues people have. Cooper's great.
Insane.
De Niro's best performance in years. Which might not
really
be saying
better that. Than Meet the Fockers.
Better than
greater than his American Express commercial. Ass.
Righteous Kill. Like De Niro has been doing such. I love. He's one of my all-time favorite actors. But he's been doing such shit lately. I was so happy to see him in this role. Go see Silver Linings Playbook. Controversially, I did not like Life of Pi.
Civil War with a Life of Pi.
Life and Pi and Dick. This movie is visually stunning.
This is the sequel to Slumdog Millionaire, right?
It's what if the Slumdog
racist?
What if the he says?
It looks like a screensaver in all the ads.
But you know what? When you see it in the whole context of the film, you're really taken in with the images, and you really buy the tiger and the relationship with the tiger. But then, as great as the whole middle section of this film is, it sets up these promises. It cannot keep. It has it left me empty because it contradicts itself. Now, people have told me that I'm crazy, and it
neither
doesn't.
One of us have seen the movie, so we're just letting you opine.
That's why he's talking about it.
Yeah. That's why I'm talking about it. But I have to talk about it on this episode because it's out now. But if you like this movie, get in touch with me so we could yell about it. Because the movie says it'll make you believe in God. I say the movie made me more confident there isn't a God. And we can explain why after you see it. It was very frustrating. I want to tell you why I don't like it, but I can't because it'll ruin the whole movie.
What
no,
flavor is the
it,
pie?
Tell it.
I can't.
Is
I'm not
going
to see it.
Pie?
It's like $14 to go to the ArcLight.
Well, you don't have to go to the ArcLight.
No, you go to the $6 AMC before noon.
I'll pirate it.
We'll go to the Jew prices. We'll go.
I go to the $6. I see movies, multiple movies a weekend. I have to go to $6 movies.
Just
otherwise
tell
I'll
me,
have
start, fade in. Go ahead.
Okay, so it starts off. This is old.
Who directed it?
Ang Lee.
Who directed Ride with the Devil and The Ice Storm.
Yes.
Yeah. And nothing else.
And Academy Award winner Ang Lee. I mean, should I spoil the movie?
No!
Isn't your podcast about, like, talking about pop culture?
Yeah, but
so
it's
you're
going to
talk about how you can't talk about pop culture?
He already talked about it.
I find the movie contradictory.
Go.
Let me
He's
say.
Okay, we'll discuss. Let me say there's not a guy.
We'll discuss it after the Oscars.
Okay, wait. I'm gonna say one sentence that kind of might give something away. Should I do it? Do you not want me to do it, Sean?
Go ahead and do it.
It makes you.
La 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 la.
You know what? I'm not gonna do it. It makes you believe the impossible, and I'm not gonna do it because I don't want to ruin movies for people. Let's move on. Because I know Zach Fox is sitting in his car, a loyal listener. He's like, I can't listen to this now. He's freaking out.
Great. Now we all have mental blue balls. Thanks.
Wes,
you know what? After this, you're buying us both a slice of pie.
I'll buy you a life of pie.
Low carb pie.
No, after this is over, I'm just going to tell Jesse what I don't like about the movie. We got to move on.
Who plays God in the movie?
Alanis Morissette.
Remember, I told you there is no God, so that's the problem. It's a perfect double feature with Dude, Where's My Chutzpah? So, that is the movie.
I actually got God to review my movie.
Did he?
What did he say?
She was like...
Oh, I'm sorry. What did she say?
She was like, is that the final sound mix?
Okay, we got to move on. Because now we've gone... I usually accuse you of going up your own ass. I've gone up my own ass on this one. So, everybody loves The Simpsons, right? We've been watching The Simpsons all our life, right?
Since I was 7 years old.
Jesse? Really? You've never watched The Simpsons?
Did they not air in Atlanta?
No, I don't know. We'll move on. Go ahead.
Okay.
Watch it. It's like Europe. Like, I'll get there.
Eventually, you'll catch
it's
up
not
on,
going
like,
anywhere.
On, like, 24 seasons Well, recently, you know, they've been over 2 decades in putting this show
25th
out.
25th season.
Is it 25th?
Yeah. 24th or 25th?
I think it's 24th, because I feel if it was 25th, they'd do a bigger... Anyway, the show's been on more than half my life. So... You know, I guess after a while, you got to delve back into some old scripts and try to figure out what you're going to do next. And it was good to see that they dug up a script, a spec script, by a young upstart who really needs a break in this town. A spec script that he wrote 20 years ago. And they have a script, and they're going to be doing an episode written by Judd Apatow. Written by Judd Apatow on a 20-year-old spec script.
More than that, he wrote it after the 5th episode had aired. So, almost 25-year-old spec script.
So here's my question. What is in the script that you want to air this? This is going to be dated references. What are they going to be talking about? They're going to be talking
Gorbachev.
About...
Do they need it for rating? Are their ratings suffering?
The Simpsons ratings have been the same for...
Ever. It doesn't move. It's just, it's a constant.
It is a constant. So it's... You know what? I'm going to say this. Good for you, Judd Apatow, because things are so fucking hard for you right now. You know, you got those two adorable kids to feed, and you got the wife who apparently doesn't do anything either. So, you know, good for you. No, you know what? Fuck you, Judd Apatow. And here's why. You got your spec script, all the stories that are out there in the world, all the writers, and they're coming to your script. And also, by the way, you tweeted that you wanted to listen to new podcasts, and we sent you, not even us, our fans, sent you multiple messages. Give Will Sean podcasts a try. And you didn't. So go.
How do you know he didn't?
Because we didn't get the Lena Dunham email.
Yeah, because because he would have loved it.
He would have been
this.
Like, I want you to take off all your clothes and film a half-hour pilot for HBO.
And I would do it. I would naked do this podcast.
You're wrong. Podcast and dick. Yes?
I'm raising my hand. You're wrong at the mad person.
Fuck you, Judd Apatow. You're the enemy of the podcast.
It wasn't his choice for them to
you
make it.
You know what?
It.
Everything's going well. It's like being a football team, and you're up 56-0, and you go for the two-point conversion.
So you're saying the Simpsons should be the enemy of the podcast, and not Apatow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I just, he's not the wrong, right person to get mad at.
And here's the other thing, and here's another reason why. I think I've been having a lot of Apatow anxiety, and I think this is all stemming.
Because he's so close to you that you're like, if a nebbishy guy with back problems and back hair can make it, then why can't I make it?
You know nothing about my back hair. Now, the point
Thank
is.
God. There is a God.
The point is, I think maybe you're right. Maybe I'm taking this out on the wrong person, because I've been having a lot of Apatow anxiety. I had a dream a few nights ago, because I review movies, as everybody knows, on a radio show. And I had a dream the other night that Apatow invited me to a private screening of This Is 40. This, I swear to God, this is a dream I had the other night. And I was sitting in...
That's so sad. That was your dream.
And I was...
And then you went to the dentist.
No, well, here's the thing. I'm sitting in the theater watching the movie, and I am not liking it. And every 5 minutes, Apatow comes over to me and goes, "What do you think of the movie?" And I'm like, "It's good, Judd. It's good. It's good. Let me finish watching it." And he'd go back, and then I would just sit there, and I hated it. And I'm so, like, so Apatow's now, he's in my dreams. He's in my head.
Yeah. So did you like the movie?
No, I just said I didn't like
it. No,
the movie.
In reality.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm having anxiety about the movie. And I blame you. I'd have no anxiety if it wasn't for you, Judd Apatow. So fuck you. You're invading my dreams. You're invading my Simpsons. And you're not listening to our podcast.
And he invaded our Daniel Day-Lewis. Remember the screening of There Will Be Blood with a Q&A by Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis, moderated by Judd Apatow?
How'd he do?
It was fucking surreal. Well, he opened the Q&A with Mr. Day-Lewis, Mr. Anderson. Question for you. Spider-Man 3 or...
No. You fucked this up.
Did I? What was the story?
Knocked Up or Superbad. Two movies he was involved with.
No, he asked for Spider-Man 3.
No, he didn't.
The really joke, good stuff to be arguing about, though. It's really interesting for everyone else listening. Every female is, like, wet right now. I can't even tell you. They're like, what?
Well, I know
Who's
we got...
right?
I know we got you going.
Who's right? Was it Spider-Man 3 or Superbad?
What makes more sense? Two movies Apatow was involved in, or a movie he was involved in, and a movie he has nothing to do with. I'm right on this, Sean.
It was a good story.
Fuck you, Apatow! You're screwing up Sean's story!
I feel like... Okay, we were talking about this earlier, though. I know you're not asking for my opinion.
I know I am asking for your opinion.
You're looking at me like my dad does when I'm telling... when I tell him it's that time of the month. Like, okay.
Do you keep him regularly updated on this?
We have no boundaries. Okay, I just think that, like, with his recent movies, it's like, if you look at, like, the beginning of his career, like, there's pain and rejection and heartbreak and really honest work. And as people get more successful and people start saying yes to them...
Life is too easy for
Life
him.
Is so easy, and their art fucking suffers, and it becomes less relatable. So if you're miserable, that's going to be really good for your writing.
I'm pretty miserable.
It's truth. Huh?
Nah, I'm not that miserable.
Well, we were talking about this before. It's like James L. Brooks' more recent movies have not been very good.
Cause... And he also happens to be Apatow's idol.
Yeah, well.
So there you go.
Can't wait for Apatow's Spanglish.
We might be getting that with This Is 40. Who knows?
I heard it's pretty boring.
I heard it's kind of just blah. I heard it's like, like, I didn't hear it was bad, but I didn't hear it was good. Which is
that's worse than making a train wreck.
I'd rather deal with complete garbage.
I'd rather be on a train that stalls out than on a train that wrecks. Because, you know, life.
Right. With okay. A piece of cake.
But I think we're saying we'd rather watch the train wreck than the stalled train, is what we're saying.
Yeah, I'd rather watch The Room.
The Room. The best movie of the year.
Are we talking
year.
About Tommy Wiseau's
The classic.
Room? Oh, we got to...
So we should get Wiseau on the podcast.
No, he'd sit here and do sonnets
cool,
for
Cool, bring
minutes.
Up other people to bring on the podcast while I'm sitting here. That's awesome.
Hey, Jesse.
Okay, we have gone off the rails. I blame myself this time.
Well, it's your train wreck. Went off the rails.
But before we go...
Stalled out train stays on the rails.
I want to bring up one minute. You mentioned Twilight before. And, or somebody mentioned Twilight before.
Somebody that you're going to have on the podcast next week.
Yeah,
funny.
Next week's guest mentioned Twilight before. I was thinking about the next show with you on. And Mitt, we had our first Mitt Romney sighting. We had our first post-losing the election Mitt Romney sighting. And it was at him and Anne were taking in a screening of Twilight. Because, you know, it's that great Mormon work of art. Twilight. So what is he saying? He's okay with all this vampire sex?
I think so. It's a very chaste story about two people in love.
But apparently in this last one, they, like, have a fuck fest. Mm. Because she's a vampire.
And now she
was she turned into a vampire?
Yeah.
For him?
Yeah, well, I know she was going to die in childbirth.
And he had to eat the baby out of her stomach and turn her into a vampire so she would live.
Yep.
And so now they have crazy vampire sex. And apparently there's lots of heads getting ripped off, too, in this movie.
So can you... Here's my
question. He ate her baby?
No.
No, he ate the baby. He gave her a vampire C-section, a C-section with his teeth to get the baby out.
He opened her belly.
So is the baby in his body?
No, the baby's alive.
No, the baby's out like a C-section.
Oh, okay. Like a vacuum.
We'll draw you a picture of how women's bodies
work. So I'll show you how
like a happy abortion. Like a vampire abortion.
No, it wasn't an abortion. The baby lived. A C-section.
He had to open the stomach with his teeth.
So babies die.
They're dead babies.
No, so he's piles of dead babies.
Twilight.
It's like babies die. It's like the killing fields. Just piles of dead babies.
So, question. Mitt Romney in a theater of Twilight. I mean, it's weird, right?
It is weird.
Like, this is the movie he takes. Like, Obama held a screening of Lincoln at the White House. Romney could have went to see Lincoln. He could have saw Argo. He could have saw all these, like, interesting...
Life of Pi.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
So, but now he sees Twilight? Okay. Nobody's outraged.
No,
by
I
this.
Mean, just like Mormons and vampire sex.
There you go. Well, like coffee and pie.
Well, let me ask you this. Another Twilight thing I saw, and I want to know what you think of this as a woman. A Memphis woman made headlines this week after announcing she planned to marry a cardboard cutout of Edward Cullen.
Genius.
Yeah?
Did she sell the rights to her life yet?
You should make that story. You should tell that story.
Well, what amazing.
Or we could get her on the podcast.
Yeah. Totally. Was it Lars and the Real Girl?
I mean, I guess it's like that, right? I mean, yeah. Would you? Is this like if you get to a certain point? At what point in life do you get so desperate that you marry a cardboard cutout?
But are they letting her?
I'm assuming.
It's
you know,
not a human being. It's not a person. Who are you going
to
marry?
Who's to say what is human? It's energy.
Well, science, for one.
They let this cardboard...
Only if they sign a prenup.
I think it's great. He'll never talk back. If she has to move, he could just wrap himself around everything.
This is actually very convenient. I should have years ago married that cardboard cutout of Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider.
Have one?
No, but I saw one.
In the mall, they sold them.
Yeah, I could.
And you get the princess
you saw
Leia
one
in the
your
gold
bedroom.
I saw one in
bought.
My bedroom. Yeah. I'm going to have sex with a cardboard cutout of Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider tonight. Okay.
Fine. All right. You got it out of me.
Well, we eat pie.
You know, this was what Rick Santorum was always worried about. If the gays started getting married, then, you know,
then
people
the cardboard
cut out. The cardboard cutouts. That's,
well, that was quite an episode.
Jesse, thank you so much for coming
I'm
on.
I'm not here anymore. I'm gone. I have another podcast, actually.
Yeah. It's like in a cartoon. We just see, there's just her silhouette of smoke where she was.
Of skinny smoke.
But now that skinny smoke isn't going to get to plug all her stuff one more time before we go.
Check it. Please send blank checks to... watch my web series. It's going to be fucking weird and awesome and really funny.
I legitimately can't wait.
Really legitimately?
Yeah.
Okay.
Illegitimately. It's dudewheresmychutzpah.com and follow me at shegotchutzpah. And
hey, that was at the Twitter.
Be my friend. It's just my mom following me right now. So
we're
be
following
my
you.
I'm following you. You're not following us, I noticed, but that's okay.
I'm busy.
But you can follow at Twitter. Spell it just in case people are idiots.
SHEGOTCHUTZPA.
Perfect.
No H at the end?
Like, she got game, but the Jewy word.
Right. Chutzpah. And it's like, dude, where's my car only? Chutzpah dick.
Yeah.
And what's your website again?
It's jesseconweiler.com.
Excellent. Sean, do the thing where you plug things this
did
time.
Did I plug last week? I can't remember.
You plugged last week. Oh, you, well, you know.
Plugged a few things.
Cutting room floor.
Follow me, Twitter, Facebook. The Sean David, you can download and read, well, I'm sorry, you can buy, then download, then read my book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, on Amazon Kindle, and you should do that because it's good, and I'm actually been working on some new stuff that I have out to a few people to proofread, and So maybe you'll be getting some new fiction from Sean soon. You can only hope. And Instagram, and you can also play me on Letterpress.
Don't play him on Letterpress. You shouldn't plug games that you're on.
And Sterner Stuffs is happening.
Okay. Yeah. Well, everybody forgot what that was.
It is happening.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You could also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. And you can read articles of mine at u1can, like the city in France, .com. I have a new article, a morbid article up there, a little morbid, about movies and death. We're going to discuss it a little bit on next week's show. So, you know, give it a read, and you can be part of the conversation. On the show next week, speaking of...
Whatever.
We have another terrific filmmaker on.
If you have Lena Dunham, I swear
to God. Lena Dunham is going to be...
She's going to be here with Judd Apatow and Nancy Myers. Nora Ephron sadly canceled. Aw, too soon.
But no, we, in all seriousness, we have Aaliyah Petridis. Oh my God!
This is your hell.
We need to book people with names I could pronounce. Aaliyah Petridis, and he directed a terrific film that's going to be out in theaters on December 7th, called The Man Who Shook the Hand of Vicente Fernandez, and this is very notable.
Did he go to film school?
Yes. It's very notable because it is the final film of Ernest Borgnine's career. It was the last film Borgnine did. So we're going to talk to him about working with Borgnine, and it should be great.
I got a lot of questions about Marty.
Yeah, all the questions you've had since 1955 will be answered. And then the week after that, we mentioned this briefly on the show last week that we had booked another stand-up comic, and we have this guy, Jake Weissman, coming on. He's a really funny guy, and he was, if you've seen the clip going around on YouTube, he is the guy, the comic who dragged the heckler on stage only to find that the heckler had cocaine on him, and he used that to get the heckler to leave. It was phenomenal. It's phenomenal. He's going to be on. We're going to be asking him all about that, as well as, you know, comedy and shit.
Yeah.
So it should be good.
So yeah, and we are working on getting hopefully a big guest for the end of the year / the beginning of next year. Also, mark your calendars because we're getting up to the 50th episode.
Yeah.
In January, 50 episodes we've been doing.
And
wow.
It's gonna be our next quarter quell, and we have.
We got some plans.
We have some plans. We have plans for all of you to enjoy. But for now, once again, Jesse, we've enjoyed having you on.
Whatever.
See what I did there?
Let's go eat pie.
Okay.
Awesome. And on that note,
we're finished.
We're finished.